Thank you, Your Honor. All right, now this appeal involves the agency's round three re-evaluation. And the first issue I want to address is whether the agency was required to reopen discussions with XPO when it downgraded XPO's announced past performance scores from the prior two rounds. The key question is this. Does the agency have to reopen discussions when information given by the agency to a bidder, accurate when given, is no longer accurate because of a reevaluation in which the agency, based on the same proposal materials, significantly downgrades the scoring it reported earlier? The precedent of the Court of Federal Claims and the GAO is uniform that it does. In rounds one and two, the agency graded XPO as having relevant and very relevant references. It evaluated as having the highest confidence score, a substantial confidence, but then it downgraded that after telling XPO it didn't have to supplement its proposal at all, having no questions of it, no concerns stated, to two of those references being not relevant, the other moving from very relevant to relevant, and then downgrading the overall confidence score as well. But it didn't give XPO the opportunity to address what the agency's newfound concerns were. In that situation, Your Honor, they had to reopen and allow us the opportunity that they'd given to others as well. The government's response is that the agency had indicated before the reevaluation that it didn't intend to reopen discussions, that they were closed. All the cases, Your Honors, finding misleading discussions in exactly this circumstance were in exactly the same procedural posture as this. The government had said, discussions are closed, now give us your final price revisions, your FPRs, or your best and final offers, your BAFOs. And then, though, they did a reevaluation internally without the offer or changing their proposal materials and downgraded them. The GAO, the courts, say you have to reopen in that circumstance. Discussions are closed in this field does not mean, and there's no way they'll ever be opened again. It means they're closed unless it's in the government's best interest to reopen or unless the law requires it. In this situation, the law required it. Now, the Court of Federal Claims incorrectly held that XPO's protest on this ground was untimely. Obviously, XPO could not know the results of its reevaluation and its downscoring until it had happened. The Court of Federal Claims asserted that XPO should have known that it was likely to be downgraded.
I'm sorry, why does the question of whether there had to be discussions depend on whether you were going to be downgraded or not?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't understand the question.
I thought your complaint is that they had to open the discussions, and you're not disputing that you knew that they were not going to open the discussions, is that right?
We don't dispute that they didn't say they were going to reopen it when they started doing their reevaluation.
Right. So if you knew or there was patent ambiguity or something about whether there were going to be further discussions and you thought we really better have some more discussions, why is that not classic blue and gold? You don't wait to see if you win before you figure out. The whole point of blue and gold is that the terms of the solicitation have to be settled through formal protests and whatnot before you know.
Right. What we are challenging here is the reevaluation itself. It was okay to say we're not going to take any more discussions. However, if events unfolded like they did, and which with the same RFP criteria, the same proposal materials, they now substantially downgrade. Now what they've said earlier in discussions when they had them with us is not accurate. When they told us we had the highest scores and very relevant references, that's misleading to us, and they must reopen as a matter of law in order to give us the same opportunity they gave to others to address their concerns. And as we showed in Mr. Dyer's affidavit, it was prejudicial because there was a lot we could have said about these newfound concerns that they had.
Before round three, you did know the agency was going to be reevaluating the performance of yourself and Crowley, correct?
We actually, all that the GAO recommended and the agency said it was going to follow that recommendation, was that it reevaluate Crowley.
But reevaluate Crowley because the agency had misunderstood the scope of the analysis it needed to do, right? Because the agency only looked at the first 2 years of the contract and didn't appreciate that they should really be analyzing the past performance situation against it, really a seven-year contract.
That's what the government argues, but it's not true. And if you read the GAO decision, Your Honor, you'll see that's not accurate. There's nothing in the evaluation materials for round one that said they limited it to 2 years. Now, the government post hoc, the agency came in at GAO and said, okay, well, let's just look at it against 2 years. But that's not what they did. And GAO said, there's no explanation in this record as to why references that are this small don't fit under the little or none category for relevance. And even if I take their post hoc assertions that, well, they only compared it against 2 years, they're still too small. And there's still no explanation in the record why it doesn't fit under little or no. So that's what's the back and forth at the GAO. So when we went into this situation, even if we assume that, okay, they might look at us too, we have no idea what the particulars are, whether they will downgrade us. We don't know what the particulars are, why they downgraded us. There's no final agency action for us to complain about at this point. And we know that the law is...
If your grievance is you had to have the opportunity to talk to them, you either knew ahead of time that you were not going to have that opportunity, or you didn't. I don't see any...
That's not my grievance. My grievance is that they reevaluated me and downgraded me and had new concerns and came up with new sub-criteria without changing the RFP itself. And so what they told me before in discussions is no longer accurate. And the law is when that happens, then you must reopen and allow discussions to go forward again. Because what you told them before is no longer accurate. And it's not the bidder's fault. Because it's looking at the same proposal materials. The GAO says that the key question here is, are you looking at the same proposal materials or not? And if you're looking at the same proposal materials, you must, as a matter of law, reopen because what you did before is misleading.
I don't understand. There was no change to the solicitation, and I didn't think there was a change to the evaluation process. What is the change apart from the one you actually requested when you successfully had your round two bid protest? What did the agency do differently this time that you should have had a right to respond to?
We did not ask for the RFP evaluation criteria to be changed. I want to make sure that's clear, even though there was some suggestion of that in the government's brief. Our whole protest was they didn't apply the RFP's evaluation criteria consistently with what it says.
Well, now, when it came around, your protest was they didn't evaluate past performance properly.
Yes, and they reevaluated it. So they came up with additional explanations. They had a few additional criteria they were going to apply, and they misdid a lot of stuff. And suddenly, our evaluation from being the very highest is now not relevant and dropping the overall ratings. And that made what they told us before misleading. We could not have known that until we got the information about what the final agency reevaluation was. It is simply not the rule of law that, you know, they might reevaluate us. It's maybe
no, they might. You were told that you were going to be reevaluating all of the offerers' proposals. I mean, that part you were told.
No, we weren't told that. GAO recommended that they reevaluate Crowley's. However, even if we knew that, the standard that the Court of Federal Claims put up of you should have known it was likely you'd be reevaluated, well, that doesn't give us enough to protest on. We still have to know what's the result of that reevaluation. So what are the particulars?
After the GAO, what did the agency say it was going to do in round two?
We quote that in our brief. It says it's going to follow the recommendation of the GAO. And the GAO's recommendation was that it reevaluate Crowley's past performance.
Are you saying you...
And they did that.
Are you saying XPO never had any notice at any wave, shape, or form, that XPO's past performance part would be also taken a look at in view of what the GAO instructed?
There was never any formal notice given by the contracting officer to our client that we would be reevaluated. There was indication during the litigation that they would probably do that.
During the litigation, you mean in the GAO?
Of round two, no, at the court. It said we're going to follow the recommendation of the GAO, and by the way, that means we're going to probably reevaluate you as well.
So the first time everybody went to the Court of Federal Claims.
Correct, Your Honor, in the round two litigation. But again, so okay, we don't know for sure that's what's going to happen. Even if we do, we don't know what the result is. So there's nothing for us to protest at that point. Only know that. Or they should have reopened when we got the results. And we also could rest easy, if you will, on that because
can you help me on this? Mm-hmm. Suppose for purposes of this question that you knew that you were going to be reevaluated. Taking that as a given, mm-hmm. what is it that the agency said to you earlier that you could rely on as not changing when they actually did the round two evaluation?
There was nothing.
If they said something to you before the GAO, and then they say, oh, we're going to reevaluate, it seems to me the things they said before, I don't know in what context they said these things mm-hmm. except their initial evaluations. But once they say we're going to reevaluate, are they bound by things that they said?
They're not bound by it, but there's also no reason for us to think that anything would reasonably change. And we also could rely on the rule of law that I've been talking about, which is that if they do make a material change and make what they had told us previously now inaccurate, then they have a legal requirement to reopen and give us a chance to address those newfound concerns that they have. That's what Ashbritt says. That's what Raytheon says. That's what the GAO says repeatedly. So that's the situation we found ourselves in. We don't have to anticipate that the agency is going to violate the law.
And you kept saying how they're not treating you the same as everyone else, but it's my understanding they also treated you and Crowley the exact same way with regard to this. Is that
absolutely
right?
Not, Your Honor.
Didn't they downgrade Crowley's rating on past performance as well and not give them an opportunity to respond?
No. When they downgraded Crowley, they gave them an opportunity to respond. When they downgraded Genco, they reopened it.
After round three.
Not after round three, after round two, after round one. They had both Genco, they had Crowley.
The round that you're referring to, that you're saying that you didn't get the opportunity to have a discussion with the agency, it's true for XPO as well, right?
Crowley, sorry.
No, they did not reopen for Crowley, but they had previously identified what they had as a concern and told and given them a chance to supplement, and they did. They said, your references are too small, you're not showing any experience in air TDEF, so what are you going to do about it? And Crowley comes in with 34 new references, and it comes in with more information. That's exactly what they should have done for us if they had a similar concern about these things. But they didn't do it.
Okay, let's save the rest of your time and hear from opposing counsel.
All right, thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Harlow.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. The discussions-based argument that we've been hearing from XPO, it originates with a protest from XPO that paralleled the protest that we were just discussing. And in that protest, XPO argued that the agency had been too lenient on small past performance and that past performance that was too small had been too leniently rated. Now, from that, the GAO ruled in XPO's favor and Transcom said that it would initiate a corrective action plan to reevaluate past performance. And that spawned a protest from Crowley in the Court of Federal Claims where the corrective action plan to reevaluate past performance was put before the trial court. Now, I know we've been talking a lot about waiver, but it's even more than that. You have to remember that during that protest, XPO defended the corrective action plan that was put forward by the government. And to say that they didn't have notice of exactly what that corrective action plan would look like is simply not true.
I thought Mr. Claybrook said that at least until you got to the Court of Federal Claims, and I could be misunderstanding, they had no idea that they were going to be reevaluated.
Well, I can't speak for what they would have known or not known, but to have
no information from the government or the GAO told them that they were going to be reevaluated.
Not specifically. There had really been no communication from.
At what point did they learn that they were going to be reevaluated?
They learned that they would be reevaluated at the status conference of that protest because the issue came up then. And then if you look at the briefs that I filed in the trial court that I actually block quoted in the briefs before this court, we laid out a step-by-step plan of how this would work. And because to do the reevaluations would impact both of them had to be reevaluated. And along with that, we made it explicitly clear that discussions were not going to be reopened. Now, Mr. Claybrook has expressed some surprise that they were also going to be reevaluated. And I'm not in a position to evaluate that surprise, but for that to be true, they would have had to have expected Crowley to be evaluated under some standard that no longer applied to XPO. So you would have had both remaining offerors being evaluated, their past performance being evaluated by different criteria. I don't know how they could be surprised that they both had to be impacted by this.
Okay, but so you said at a minimum they were told at the status conference before the Court of Federal Claims, and they were both informed that there would be no further negotiations.
Correct.
And is it your view that if they had a problem with that, they had a duty to object at that time and get on the record, or could they have?
Yes, ma'am. I think the minute that I put in there that the discussions were not going to be reopened, if they no longer wanted to defend that plan alongside me, they had every opportunity to either join Crowley's protest or have their own protest. It was
But forget about joining Crowley's or have their own, or they could just say to you, wait, we want to put in a number of new references. If you're going to apply this to us, they put in, 30 new references at some point, he said. When you questioned something about them, XPO could have said, wait a minute, time out. If you're reviewing our past performance and you're doing it under this new criteria, we'd like to put some new references in.
Yes, ma'am, and I apologize. I think I was skipping all the way to the protest stage of that. But you're absolutely right. If they had raised it, there could have been a conversation about that. And if they had wanted to have discussions, I don't know where that would have gone at that point, but we would have at least raised the issue when it should have been raised, and we could have worked through that then. And that was the first reason that the trial court rejected this argument, was that was the time. We could have had those conversations. We could have figured out where all the parties were on this. And if discussions needed to be reopened or it was the smarter path at the time, we could have dealt with it then. And the trial court looked and said, you knew this was how it was going to play out, and you did nothing about it. And in fact, you joined the government. And that
So what you just said seems, as I understand things, responsive to the argument that discussions were necessary in order to make non-misleading pre-corrective action discussions. What about the unequal?
Well, that's namely that
Crowley, I think Mr. Claybrook said, had some deficiencies in its submission that the agency contacted it about, and yet, when the agency, in conducting its reevaluation, found new deficiencies, that is, newly identified for the agency, deficiencies in XPO, it didn't contact XPO about them. Why is that not a...
Right, and it gets a little confusing here because there's a lot of different what the parties have taken to calling rounds of this procurement. At the start, what is not disputed is that at every individual round, everyone was treated equally. So from the corrective action plan, discussions were not reopened with either one of them. What Crowley's point is...
Let me see if I can try to respond and see if I understand the facts right. Isn't the scenario that Judge Toronto just explained the post-round two scenario, not the post-round three scenario?
Yes, ma'am. That's
post-round three, nobody was given an opportunity to introduce new references or take corrective action.
That is absolutely correct. And in round two, the discussions were centered on the different issues that were raised during that time with each offeror's proposal. So they each had the opportunity to respond to whatever issues may have come up in their proposals during that period of time, and they were both given the opportunity to deal with those.
But XPO's response to that would be, yes, but you didn't have any concerns with our past performance after round one or after round two. So wait, why? You're doing great. Wait, let me respond. You know, I mean, you wouldn't do that. You had problems with Crowley and you let them respond. And then you went ahead, and the first time that you demonstrated any problems with XPO's past performance was post-round three, and they felt a little blindsided.
Yes, and that's what the trial court's second basis for its opinion was, rejecting that argument. What they point out is the difference between the law that that XPO relies on is where the agency has changed the evaluation criteria and told one subset of offerors but not another, or in this case, told one offeror and told the other. That situation is obviously unfair. It's obviously unequal. But that's not what happened here. To any extent that the criteria changed, I think we get into the semantics of whether or not their interpretation of the solicitation was corrected by XPO's protest or the criteria itself changed. What is undisputed is that there were no conversations with either one of them about that. So they were dealing with equal information at the time. And that's the second basis for the trial court's decision, is that what XPO hangs its hat on is the fact that its ratings changed. But that's not what the case law is looking at. The case law is looking at, did the criteria change and somebody was told and somebody was not told? To the extent that we all disagree whether or not the criteria changed or not, it's undisputed that Crowley was not given information and XPO not. They were both coming from the same place. And the fact that their ratings changed, I think the trial court pointed out that it was they had to have expected that that XPO's smaller contracts would no longer be relevant. And I think you see a line in XPO's brief that the common sense approach would have been for them to assume that their ratings would not have changed. I would submit to the court is that there's no possible way that can be true, because if the smaller contracts for one were deemed not relevant, the smaller contracts for the other also had to be deemed relevant or irrelevant so that they could be treated the same. If there are no further questions, I think
thank you, Mr. Harlow. Mrs. Sausalito. How do I say your name?
Sausalito. Sacolato. It sounds once you get used to it.
Sacolato. Got it. Sacolato. Please proceed.
It's a butchering of Italian, but it is what it is. I wanted to just help with the timeline here, because we've been at this, chipping at this protest for a long time. And Mr. Claybrook is saying, oh, you know, Crowley had all of these discussions and we didn't have them. The discussions that were had, And I'm using that term very generously with him. What the parties were told is, here are your interim ratings. And that's what we were told. We were told in rounds one and two, and as was XPO, exact same information, received the same one pager, your interim ratings are X. Well, when those came in, either offeror had the ability to change their proposals in any way they wanted to, as a result of that information before FPRs came in. That is exactly, it was identical for both offerors. It just happened that, Crowley took the opportunity, having received the exact same communication about its ratings, to change its proposal in the past performance area. XPO changed its proposal, presumably in other areas, based upon, again, the information that it received identically formatted, just simply the ratings of the different offerors. There was no difference here. In round three, nobody knew anything. They got the exact same communications. There was no opportunity to change your proposal, no opportunity for discussions, no different information sent. We've had a conversation here about could XPO have known that it needed to protest beforehand. Absolutely. I mean, here, it's almost remarkable how divorced from the facts Mr. Claybrook's argument is. XPO argued at the GAO that in round two, that Transcom's evaluation of past performance was unreasonable. It argued that it was unreasonable because it had used an incorrect, comparing it against the baseline originally of the entire 7-year contract. These contracts are too low, okay? And then the agency came back and said, well, we used a 2-year figure. Again, XPO says that's wrong too. Your evaluation is unreasonable. Not only is it unreasonable with respect to magnitude, it's unreasonable with respect to scope, it's unreasonable with respect to complexity, and you didn't document it well. Well, they won that. And so how could they possibly have been misled? If anybody knew what GA, you know, how Transcom was going to react, it was XPO who argued for, advocated for this change. And, you know, maybe they didn't know what their ultimate rating would be, but they knew that Transcom would be evaluating past performance clearly for both offerors. There's nothing in the record that suggests that XPO's contracts were ever evaluated against, you know, any other baseline than the exact same one that applied to Crowley, that they would be evaluated against a full scope of the DFTS contracts for scope, magnitude, and complexity. And so it's just not credible that this would, that they wouldn't have known this. And it's not credible that they could have been misled by information in an evaluation they themselves called unreasonable. So there was nothing misleading, nor was there anything unequal. The offerors were treated entirely equally. And this is evidenced, you know, by nothing else other than the fact that, you know, our rating got dropped to neutral. Nothing favorable, nothing unfavorable. So any favorable inferences that Mr. Claybrook says, you know, came to Crowley's benefit, there is none. There is nothing favorable to be drawn from a neutral past performance evaluation rating as a matter of law. The one thing we haven't talked about here, and I only want to talk about it briefly, is the claim that that the agency switching from past performance to the best value determination, that the agency couldn't consider at all corporate experience in its final award decision. And that's just simply inconsistent with the terms of the solicitation. The solicitation itself says that proposals will be evaluated against five factors. The first of those five factors is corporate experience. There is nothing in the solicitation that says that it will fall out of the calculus. There's nothing that says that the agency has to ignore what it's learned about corporate experience. The solicitation says what it says. If XPO did not want corporate experience ever considered as a factor, that should have been something it protested at the outset of the solicitation. Having put it into the solicitation, it clearly had some meaning to the agency that it wasn't required to ignore. Unless the court has additional questions.
No, I would just let you know that when you raise an argument in rebuttal, an oral argument that wasn't raised in the affirmative, now you've opened the door for him to address it in his rebuttal. Prior, he couldn't. So by deciding to branch into that separate argument, I just want you to know you've opened the door, and now he's free to talk about new matters that he didn't talk about before. So you gave him that opportunity by doing that. Just an FYI for oral argument in the future. Go ahead, Mr. Claybrook.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just quick bullet points. Procurement must be reviewed as a whole, not round by round. And all these cases that we've been talking about say exactly that. Okay. Also, even if there's going to be a reevaluation as to total contract value, which was the big Crowley problem, they, as we pointed out in our briefs, the government misevaluated our total contract value, not price, by not including the freight under management, the transportation costs, when this procurement does include that in the price. You have to compare apples to apples. And let me point out as well that there was no change to the RFP here, so we aren't in a blue and gold situation or a comment situation. And I can't state it any better than the government itself did in round two, and Crowley was protesting and saying, oh, JO has recommended that you change the evaluation criteria and that we don't know what our corrective action is going to be. The government says there's been no change to the evaluation criteria. JO did not recommend that. We're not doing it. And if you've got a complaint about the corrective action that's taken on you, it's not right to complain about it now. Wait until it's done when there's been final agency action and then protest it. Exactly what's going on here. On corporate experience, we're going to rely on our briefs, Your Honor, as she did reopen that in terms of the best value. But the law is clear that corporate experience and the RFP is clear, may not be considered, or any no-go, no-go considerations can not be considered in a trade-off. One final remark, if I may, and it's just to give a status update on our pending motion to stay. Transition has gotten started, but it's not very far along at all. The first site of any size is the transition is basically starting today. So we would ask the court to consider our motion to stay in order to prevent any further harm to XBO and the government. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank all counsel. The case is taken.